Amen. And you may be seated once you've done that. Good to see everybody at New Life Fellowship. What is today? 21 days of prayer and fasting, number one. I wanted to make sure everybody was aware that you can get your 21 days of devotional in the back before you leave. If you're not able to join with us here, that's great. That's fine. We will be live streaming it, and you can put that on your smart device even as you're going to work. Amen. And also, if you want to learn a little bit more about going deeper into prayer, we have some instruction here that'll help you stir up the Spirit of God within you. Amen. Is that okay? And so during our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we'll meet up here Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Amen. There will be departmental leaders, prayer intercessors that will be here earlier than that, that will be fellowshipping and letting the little kid come out of them, being together. And at 6 o'clock, we will start our time of focusing on Jesus and the objective that he has for us as his children for the day at 6 o'clock. Amen. And we'll have a little word of direction and encouragement, and then we'll go into about 30 minutes of just listening and opening up and letting the Lord speak and pray through us, so that about 10 minutes prior to 7 a.m., amen, we're going to give everyone that has a declaration and a prophetic utterance from heaven an opportunity, about 45 seconds. That's a long time, really, when you think about it. A lot of words can be spoken in 45 seconds. Amen. So that we can speak what the Lord is speaking to one another, to his church, and to our community. Amen. Is that okay? And then on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we'll join back here. You get to sleep in on Saturday. Amen. And we'll do the same thing again. And then, of course, this is our time on our 21 days of prayer and fasting to be together. Amen. To open up our spirit and receive what heaven has for his church, his bride. Amen. On Sundays. And so when we get through with the 21 days of prayer and fasting, it'll be day 22 for the next however long until January comes, and we start over with day 21. So we got a lot more days called 22. Amen. Where we don't stop what we're doing. We just let the Lord lead us and we continue. You'll just be doing that with you and Jesus between us coming together and beginning another 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Amen. Embracing. Amen. Encouraging. And letting the Lord talk to us about what he's doing. Is that good? Amen. Joining together. We got a few hand claps on that. So, amen. I know you mean it. Everybody wants to be closer to Jesus, don't we? Amen. And we always pray for a church every Sunday, but we're reserving Sundays now during our 21 days of prayer and fasting to pray for you. Amen. To join with you as New Life Fellowship in our community, as families. Amen. To be stronger, to be more focused, to be more open to what the Lord is doing, to be available to him. And so I want to say thank you, New Life family. Amen. For making the decision to be rooted, grounded, and settled in your faith, to join with the mission that heaven has given to you and I, the vision, the purpose that God has, through his grace, extended to us, and he's given us identity. And so let's just, for the next few moments, agree together prayerfully that the identity he's given us through baptism in water, and then he filled us up in his spirit with baptism of spirit and fire. He knew exactly what he's doing because he believed in you and I, and you are powerful. Your best days start now. This very moment are before you. And time that needs to be redeemed will be redeemed. The years that the enemy has taken from you, God will restore. He promises that. Anybody want that to happen? Father, thank you for the presence of your spirit, the identity you've invested in us. You gave everything so that we would have life and life abundantly. You have invested in us to experience the best, amen, to be close to you. So you chased us down and you found us. And you gave us this treasure. Amen. You gave us your kingdom. And we can't thank you enough. Now use us, Lord, as your platform, as your representative, as your bride, as your children. Amen. Everything that you have deemed for us to be, Lord, to your creation. Use us, Lord, to be a light, to be salt to our community, to impact them, Lord, with our relationship with you. There is a better way. There is a better day. Amen. There is hope, and you've given us good news. Now help us release that wherever we go, and everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're powerful. And so, we're still in the series, Fear versus Faith. Amen. And we're talking today about design for intimacy. Anybody like intimacy? And it's getting silent now. What are you talking about, Pastor? Amen. Let me give you an illustration of how God looks at intimacy, because the majority of the people will go to church today and they will get a hug from heaven. The presence of God will meet them where they gather. Everybody agree? Y'all sense the presence of God. The challenge with that is you might become satisfied with just a hug. You might be okay with the fact that you can feel God. But remember this, God's presence does not always hang out with humanity. There has to be something that comes back from us to him eventually. And so he's merciful every day, right? And his mercies are new every morning. And every morning you wake up, know this, that was the mercy of God. Because he is in love with you, regardless if you receive him, regardless if you agree with him, regardless if you declare him as Lord, he still loves you. And everyone that don't know him and hasn't experienced him, he loves them because he purchased them. He owns everybody. He will not force his ownership or his rulership on anybody. Isn't that interesting? Well, that's a good God. He can't do nothing but be good. And so, in the beginning, God forms humanity out of dust. In the very beginning, you can find it right there in Genesis, and he breathes upon. And that word breath means he fills Adam with spirit and life. It's the same breath, and he rushed up on the one he was in love with and fills him, and he became a living being. And he's filled with the Spirit of God. He gives him spirit. He gives him life. Amen. And he's having an intimate relationship with Adam, so much so that Adam every morning gets up and meets God in the cool of the day and walks with the voice of God. And Adam only said what he heard his father say. He only did what he saw his father do. It starts in the beginning. But it don't only happen even in the beginning. Without us discussing the fall of man, amen, and God working with that, in an old covenant way, God did the same thing. In the old covenant, he gave humanity identity, and then he would rush upon humanity. Yes, same way he did Adam. He gave Adam identity. Most important thing that God created in the beginning was humanity. That was the treasure. He gives Adam identity, and then he rushes up on him with his breath. In the Old Testament, Samuel anoints David with identity. The moment he anoints David with identity, kingship, the scripture says, and the Spirit rushed upon David and was with David. And did not depart from him. Anybody like that? I'm just giving you a synopsis before we get in the Word here in the next few moments. But not only did it happen in the beginning and in the old covenant, it happens in the new covenant. It's the promise Jesus gave. He, matter of fact, he says it this way, that we can't even be a witness to him. In Acts 1. We cannot be a witness to him unless we be endued with power from on high. Okay, when you look at that a little closer, amen, those 120 that made up in their mind, I'm going to be a witness to him. Anybody want to be the bride of Christ? Anybody want to be associated and bear his name?
those that chose to be identified with him walked down in water and was buried. They took identity. The moment they took identity, he rushed upon them with his spirit. And it was noted, and with a rushing mighty wind filled that place. And they were all filled with the Spirit. The same breath that God gives Adam, the same anointing that places upon David, God placed in 120 in Acts chapter 2. And not only did he do it with 120, but the people were so moved by the event that multitude says, what is this language? What is this experience? Man, there's a relationship going on. We don't understand what's going on. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on you, all flesh. You're designed for intimacy. It didn't stop there, y'all. They went from house to house breaking bread and then fell. You can't get around small groups. You can't get around it. If you want, look, I'm going to just tell you, Jesus is interested in his bride giving birth to children. Anybody here the bride of Christ? Well, we got one. I'm not meddling today. The Lord's meddling. The bride of Christ gives birth to his sons and daughters. Amen. He's after the children, but he can only have the children through an intimate relationship with his bride. This is so important. And they went from house to house breaking bread and in fellowship, and the church grew, and the church grew, and the anybody want the church to grow? He set the parameters. Small groups were that important 2,000 years ago, and small groups are that important today, even in the cult, especially in the culture that we're in. In our culture, you don't have time for a small group. It's from daylight to dark, and then you got to get some rest at some time. So what do we need, y'all? Because based on our culture, you can't even be the bride of Christ. Pastor Lowe, quit meddling. I want to take a moment today, and you're going to find out the answer, and you're going to know the answer before you leave here in the next little bit. Not because I've revealed anything to anyone here, but because God is going to reveal it to you. He's very personal. He's so good. He's into you. And ladies and gentlemen, the temptation to want to be in charge is real, isn't it? Anybody want to be in charge? Okay, all right. I feel you. Amen. That's the temptation. And so, but know this, Jesus is not attracted to a bride that wants to be in charge. Did y'all know, Pastor Lowe, you're going to be meddling? No, I'm just going to be telling the truth today. It's time for us to get real. Do you know you can't find very many weddings that go on that will mimic the wedding that happens between Jesus and his church? And the promise that we make to one another between him and us as the bride, that we will love and we will cherish and, don't say it, that's a bad word, obey. We're the bride. That don't fit in our culture. And it's got into the church. And now the church don't even trust God with our representation of husband and wife no more. But you know what? This is so important for us to know. He does not dictate to his bride. He does not lord over. He only can be lord by permission. And the thing about him, he's not asking us to obey anything grievous. All of his commands are his good news. Anything that he asks from us is to simply, amen, take advantage of his kingdom. He's trying to give us something. But he can't give it until we're willing to submit, which is a bad word in our world and in the church. We're willing to submit to him so that we can become attractive to him. He's not attractive to a bride that wants to be in charge. Silence is good, because I understand that I'm the bride of Christ too with you. He can only be attracted to a bride that is submitted to the fact that he wants to bless her, and he wants to fulfill her, and he wants to give her the best. So why, as the bride of Christ, are we not more passionate about loving and cherishing and obeying him? Because he didn't give any commands to be grievous. He gave them all as a revelation of his mercy and love to us. They bring life. They don't bring death. His leadership, his word to us, brings us to fulfillment. So what's the problem here? I want to read to you here the next few moments two conversations in the Bible. Amen. Very powerful conversations, but I want to ask a few questions before I read them to you. And one of the questions is, can I live out my identity and role as a man or woman without Jesus being in charge of my life? So what does it look like, and how can I know Jesus is in charge of my life and I'm living out the identity he's given me, not the identity that I've chosen for myself? Here, let's read the first conversation. Based on our definition of intelligence, of which we all are attracted to, we like to have intelligent conversations, don't we? Right? Everybody like to have an intelligent conversation. Because when I'm having a conversation with you and you're having one with me, we're informing one another. We're getting things from each other because we're informing each other. Right? And that's logical. And I certainly enjoy those kind of conversations with anybody that will have one with me. But let me ask you a pointed question. Can you inform God? Is it possible to have an intelligent conversation with God? It's amazing how many of you said no and laughed because you know that's not reality. And some of you were silent because you said, uh-oh. Uh-oh. You know, it's back to believing is seeing is believing. And that's not true neither. That's another lie. And so there's a difference between me being intelligent and being smart. And by the time you leave today, you're going to say, you know what? I need to be smart. I don't necessarily need to be intelligent because I need Jesus. And we're going to find out who's smart and who's not. And I have got qualifications to minister this message to everybody because I have not always been smart. I have thought of myself times in my life more than I should have thought of myself. There's been times in my life that I actually thought I could reveal something to you. And I did. I revealed my ignorance. Is this okay? But I know you need something more than what I've got. Amen. I've got Jesus. Amen. But I can't give it to you unless I'm willing to submit to him and let him work through me. And after it's been given to you, I probably won't realize you got it because I missed it. But he still used me, and he still used you. And we can all say together, look what the Lord has done. And he's already proven to me after 57 plus years that he can do it better than I can do it. With him, wow. Without him, I keep falling on my face. And you could be on your face and think you're intelligent. But how did you get on your face? How did you fall and look like a fool being so intelligent? Okay. In Genesis chapter 3, here's the first intelligent conversation that happened. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God say, and I'm going to tell you, this enemy can come to you and he'll have a conversation with you, an intelligent conversation, and he'll make you think that you're informing him. He'll pull the wool over your eyes and make you think that you're actually telling him something he don't know. And he'll make you feel very intelligent before the conversation's over, and you'll make decisions based on the fact that you're God. You wouldn't say it like that, but the evidence is in our actions speak louder than our words, right? And so, he says to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. This intelligent conversation going on. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. Information's coming. And it's not necessarily false information. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit was of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They're really intelligent. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the Lord among the trees. Now, all of a sudden, they hadn't been afraid of God before, and now they're afraid of God. This is so important for you to note today before we go any further, is that fear is the platform by which the enemy operates to divide and conquer. Anything that comes out of fear is not from God. I'm going to say anything. Anybody know our world's in trouble right now? And they're freaking out. There's professed believers that are afraid right now. And the reason they're afraid is they're not having the right conversation. Their conversation is coming out of a conversation of intelligence, which is producing more fear and anxiety. And the more fear I have and the more anxiety I have, I can't carry the good news. I can't go from house to house so that the church can grow. Pastor Lowe, be careful. This is being live streamed. I'm not here encouraging anybody to break any laws or push against our magistrates. We support and we pray for our magistrates and everything they're doing to make this thing better. It's real. It exists because of fear exists and because a lie exists. It happily is killing people. It's happening. But the cross don't say that. Jesus didn't say anything about that. He's got something to say about it, and if we'll agree with what he has to say about it and we'll repeat what he's saying, we win. Coronavirus don't win. Social unrest don't win. The church comes together. The body of Christ understands who they are, and we know our place in the kingdom. But now I want to read to you a conversation, what it looks like between you and God. Anybody want to know what that conversation looks like between you and God? We're going to read it to a baby church that Paul is trying to encourage. He's letting this baby church know, if you'll learn to have this kind of a conversation, you won't puke up on everything. You can actually be effective in the kingdom of God. You're not always, anybody ever felt like, man, woe is me? You felt like, man, nobody likes me and nobody's affirming me. Everybody's picking on me. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? So I qualify to minister this word today. I know how it feels to feel overlooked. I know how it feels to be picked on. I know how it feels to want to suck my thumb, bellyache, and talk about how I'm not being taken care of and loved on a little bit better. Well, he's talking to this church. And the only reason that I would ever bellyache, the only reason I would put my thumb in my mouth is because I've been having too many intelligent conversations. Well, here's how it looks when you have a conversation with God. Paul writing to the church. He said, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows the person or a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And we've got to start from the right place. Remember, the brain is where we process information. But information comes from the heart. There's a brain here. Amen. Where you receive the information, but the brain processes it. God starts here, the innermost being. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You want living waters to spring up out of you? We partake of the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is that bread. Amen? Before we get further, he tells his boys, he says, look, because they got heartburn. There's been like thousands of people that just left Jesus because he made one statement. Unless you're willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part with me. They didn't get it because they didn't have ears to hear what he was saying. Was Jesus missing the mark? No, he don't ever miss the mark. They were relying on their intelligence to figure out what he was saying. And because they couldn't figure it out, they couldn't hear it. Well, all that's standing there is the 12. And he looks at them, and he don't change what he says. He holds to his guns. He said, will you go too? And they said, Lord, where do we go? You have the words of life. We've come to realize we've left everything for you. We want to have a God conversation. We're not interested in an intelligent conversation. As much as we don't get what you just said, as much as we can't figure out what you just said, we're okay with whatever you want to say, Lord. Is anybody going to catch this here in a minute? It's time that we be okay with whatever our husband says, and we trust God. What if the husband missed it? That's not your concern. We're the bride. We're blessed because we're obedient. Pastor, you got to be willing to die to live. And I'm going to tell you something. The person in the mirror likes thinking of himself more than he ought. He wants to be in charge, but me being in charge is not attractive. Me being in charge is not attractive to anybody in this building. Me being in charge is not attractive to my wife. She wants me to be a man of God. She don't want me to be in charge. She wants me to dwell with her, amen, in a God conversation. That's attractive. But if she don't see me being obedient, oh, my wife could come up here right now and take the mic and says, I know my husband. I know when he's obedient, when he's not. He has done that for 39 years almost, coming up this August. She knows. But then that's her challenge now. And when I see leadership, come on, this is so good today. When I see leadership in my life that keeps missing it, and I take what they miss as my opportunity to resist, that's when the Spirit of God can't work. Do we trust God? David, I know y'all want me to finish the conversation with God, right? I know, but the Lord's telling me, oh, we're right here. King David, he's anointed king. And at the moment he's anointed king and the Spirit rushes up on him, he gets tested three ways. It's a quick rehearsal for everybody. He gets tested three ways. And in his tested, he gets tested by his family, he gets tested by leadership, and he gets tested by the enemy. Just like every one of us. When you decide, Lord, have it your way, I'm all in, and you submit, and he rushes up on you intimately, get ready. Now the test is about to happen. Because a lot of your family is not going to understand just what happened. Uh-huh. And the leadership is going to try to help you, mentor you in that, but they're going to try to get you to fight old ways. Go into battle different ways than you're trained to go. Because you're unique. Your personality, your identity is unique. And so King Saul is trying to get David to fight Goliath the way he fights Goliath. And David can't do that. It's untested. I'm tested. I've been trained a different way. I've been trained how to kill bears and lions. And I know the Lord wants to talk to you about how to deal with Goliath. His brothers, the moment, amen, he shows up and he sees what's going on, David has a knowing. Oh, I've seen this before. I know what to do with this. And his brothers, because they're afraid, David is challenging them. He said, why are you afraid? Well, anybody that gets called on where they're at presently in the spirit, what does his brothers do? They get hostile towards him. They start calling him names. You're just a little shepherd that need to go back out there and tend to your sheep. I know you're just being a little brat right now. And David said, what did I do? And he's not afraid. Everybody else is behind rocks. He's standing out there just in the middle of, right there with Goliath. And he's like, I can take this. By the way, what do I get if I do? The king says that you'll get this, 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 and this if you take him out. All right, sound like a deal to me. I know what to do. You see, people that can hear the voice of God on what they don't know, and now they know it. They can't explain why they know it, but they know it. And they also know what to do. And every step that David takes is trusting God because he's subject to God's will. And Goliath wants him to fight on his terms. Did y'all know the devil wants you to fight on his terms? And he will manipulate you into an intelligent conversation, and then he will put you in jail and take you out. The devil does not want anyone in this room living up to their true God-given identity. He wants your identity, so he has to belittle you. He has to talk you down. He has to beat you up. He has to take every opportunity, amen, to make you doubt your identity and doubt God's love and God's passion for you so that you will fight on his terms. And David ain't bothered by that because he can hear God and he knows what to do. And he don't fight Goliath on his terms. Did you know I grew up in the country? My pawpaw was a coon hunter. And man, there were some interesting evenings when you'd seen a coon hunt. And them coon dogs would tear up them coons. But them coons were smart. Them coons knew they weren't going to compete with them bloodhounds. And so their thing, being smart, was we've got to get them to come on our terms. And if a coon could find water, that coon would jump out in that water, and Pawpaw was watching that all the time because he didn't like his dogs getting whooped. And Jesus don't like you getting whooped. He don't care about you fighting on the enemy's terms because he's trying to get you to focus. Amen. He's giving you the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Having a conversation with God is more important than having an intelligent conversation. This is important for you. Them coons get that dog out there in the water and he'll just climb up on his back. And his ability to fight that coon is over because that coon will walk right up on him and bob his head down in the water until he drowns him. And then swim off. And Christianity is being done the same way. Because we're not having God conversations. And we don't understand that brokenness, contriteness, humility, submission is the platform by which God is able to build his house, to build his kingdom in this earth. He will not do it with arrogance and pride and self-will and the idea that I need to be in charge. And I'm just telling you today, everybody in here knows what it is to fight the temptation to want to be in charge. But let me ask you a pointed question before I read the rest of God's conversation here. How's that been working out for you? I know the enemy's blamed it on somebody else, reading it hadn't been working out. Well, I'd be okay, but it's their fault. And if they would do better, I'd have a better day. And I know you hear him talking about personalities around you all the time. And you, when you're driving to work, you're getting madder and madder as you're getting there, before you get there. Right? How many times you've been talking, and if it was a fly on the wall, it would have been funny. Watching you have a conversation on how you need to get them told and them straight, and they need to get it right, and bless God if you're right about it. They need to get it right. And they got a speck in their eye, but you hadn't looked in the mirror. Look at the beam in yours. I'm just telling you, anytime I'm having a conversation about how somebody needs to do better, I need to ask God, okay, I'm missing something, Lord. Here, you need to show me the beam I got in my own eye. Why is this bothering me? Why have they have that much power over me to have me talking about what's wrong with this? How did they get that place? Because you're having too many intelligent conversations. You figured it out, but you ain't asked me about it. And when I tell you the answer, you're going to think, really? How's that going to work? Just trust me, it'll work. That God actually gives answers to the battles that we're fighting with answers we can't logically figure out, but it works. The conversation in 1 Corinthians 2:10, for who has known a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? The same way no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Oh, he's given us something. We just don't understand. We can't explain it. What has he given you? He's given you his Spirit and fire. He's invested in you his kingship. But he's asking me and you to let him be in charge because he knows better than we know. And if we'll let him come to his house and be king of his kingdom within, then from us, we're able to take care of what God puts in front of us, his treasure called people. Instead of always trying to correct the people, we let him correct us. No, ladies and gentlemen, you're not here for me to correct. If you get reproved, you get rebuked, it's because the Spirit of God, I can't correct you. The teacher in me, our daddy, he can say some things that will bring the kind of loving rebuke and reproof with all long-suffering and doctrine, and all of a sudden, you get to grow and you get to experience intimacy with him. So I'm not here to preach at anybody here today. I'm here to talk to you about how God's working in my own life, what he's telling me about me. Amen. Lord, make me, get me where I need to be so you can impact the world around me. And for him to get me where I need to be, there's got to be a place of surrender in my life every day. 1974, I was filled with the Spirit and fire. I started a race, amen, and in 3 weeks, I fell on my face. Because I started trusting in myself. For the first 3 weeks, man, I was winning. Woo, man. I was drawing honey out of that. Boy, I was excited. But after about 3 weeks, man, all of a sudden, man, I need Jesus. And he has equipped us, and he's established us and given us the kind of identity that every day we wake now. At 58 years old, I need to get up every day saying, Lord, fill me up again. If I don't get what I need from heaven, I'm going to hurt somebody today. If I don't get a download from heaven with my conversation this way, I'm going to have too many intelligent conversations and somebody's going to lose in the process. And most of the time, I lose. Anybody got a lawyer in you that's got a point to prove? That lawyer's got to die. We don't have any points to prove, ladies and gentlemen. We have given today. This is the day of the Lord. We've been given just enough time today to let him take place as lead in our life and the one in charge in our life so he can do something that will blow our minds. And every one of you are so powerful. There's entrepreneurs in here. There's business owners. Amen. There's doctors. There's lawyers. There's all kinds of professional people and that can wow this community and this world. But you can't do it without being a son of God. Conversation, picking up verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, not with intelligent conversations, ladies and gentlemen, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. How many of these conversations have we had with God? The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. How important is Spirit baptism? How important? Can't get around it, can you? What happened in Acts 2? Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, and continue to happen. Amen. To the church of the living God. For me to be a witness to him, Spirit baptism, he said, must happen. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to say it here. And I've got a few minutes to finish this up, and we're not going to get through. We'll pick up next Sunday. But you have the mind of Christ. Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what I've been doing. You don't know what I've been thinking. You don't know what I've been watching. You don't know what... No, you have the mind of Christ. He gave it to you before, amen, you come out of your mother's womb. He was developing you. He was investing in you. 2,000 years ago, God's plan was that every human being would be given the mind. Not every human being will engage it, though. You have. The distance between your mind and the mind of Christ is very minute. It's a decision. It's a choice. And I can think of myself more than I should, and I'll engage in an intelligent conversation. And I'll manipulate someone to think that I am intelligent. Or I can have a conversation with him and be smart. Smart means... God just spoke to me. I don't know what it means. I can't figure it out, but just guess what? If that's you, Lord, bid me come. Come. Okay. And all of a sudden, I'm walking on water. I'm smart. But from an intelligent lens, boy, you're pretty dumb. Lebo said, man, you're a dummy. What you getting out of the boat for? They're convinced they're the one smart. But he's walking on water. And yes, he was practicing this trust thing. And while he's practicing, he begins to sink. Because he starts having intelligent conversations with the wind and the waves. And it's not adding up. And he starts sinking. And Jesus, the one that gave him his mind, says, okay, we're going to work on that a little bit. So you start having these God conversations more. And he grabs him. Says, come over here. We're going to practice a little bit more. And everybody knows Peter was always practicing. I mean, he was dropping the ball. He was having intelligent conversations, and Jesus had to turn around and look at him. Get behind me, devil. I mean, he called him Satan. Now, I'm just going to tell you, did Jesus love Peter? But when he heard a voice that wasn't from him, he called it out. What do you think happened to Peter when Jesus calls him Satan? Oh, I've been following you for quite some time here now. What comes out of my mouth determines where I'm at. What I say determines who my daddy is. What I say determines whether or not I think I'm intelligent or whether I'm really being smart. You don't want to miss next week's, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to talk about how it is for you and I to quench the spirit. And the writer, the apostle, said, do not quench the spirit. What do we do when we quench the spirit? What's going on? What's taking place? And so from heaven, the Lord is giving everybody a big old hug today. And for some of us, he's saying, let's go out on a date. For others, he's really gotten serious because you've made, you know, you've been more attracted to him. And you've been realizing that, man, I need to get me out of the mix and focus on the fact that I need him. And he's asking you to marry him now. 120 got married on the day of Pentecost. You know how I know that? This wedding day ain't putting off in the future. The wedding day happened 2,000 years ago because there's children being born. God's not an abomination of his own word. Children being born. Wedding took place a long time ago. Question is, have you joined in with the covenant? Or are you still having intelligent conversations with the enemy? And you know how to measure between good and evil. And so you've just kind of taken the hug. And if you're not careful, you'll be okay with the hug that you feel. Oh man, I felt God today. Oh, boy, do you feel God? Yeah, I felt God too. And you'll justify that as being everything's okay. Man, it's cool that the presence of God's here, isn't it? You know what really is cool? When you say, yes, Lord. I will love, I will cherish you, and I will obey you. And you're going to help me understand that, Lord. No? You want me to trust you? Okay. Then understanding will come. My God, why was I bucking again? Why was I trying to be in charge? Why was it me trying to be in control of everything? And you'll feel like you wasted a lot of time. Anybody felt like you wasted a lot of time with God? You won't miss next week because we're going to find out how he redeems the time. Oh, he's so good. Jesus is so good. You are designed for intimacy. Now, it's wired into all the males here. Ladies, give us a break. But it's wired in every male to rush up on his bride. But did you know that the male wants there to be an agreement, a permission? There's some evidence that, you know what, it's, I want you to rush up on me. Every male wants that. Jesus wants the same. He will not rush upon you. He will not be intimate with you until you give him every evidence that that's what you want him to do. He'll keep wooing you. He'll keep inviting you out for dinner. He'll date you. He's been dating some of us for a long time, hasn't he? But he wants to get married because he's after his heritage. His heritage are the children. He's not into birth control. I'm not preaching a principle of into the world. I'm talking about a principle in the kingdom. I'll let the Lord talk to you about that. You have a God conversation on that. But he's not into birth control. He's into children being born. He wants his sons and daughters. It's his heritage. And I know your spiritual DNA is going like, oh man, that's the truth. But our culture don't agree with it. And our culture is where it's at today because we've had too many intelligent conversations. And we've agreed with a lie. We think it's right. We think it's in. Got time for kids. Got just time for us to build up us a little nest egg so we can be retired and do our thing. And pet me. Pastor? No, I'm not preaching at nobody. I'm just talking to you about what the Lord's showing me about what his heart beats after. But if you ever let him get intimate with you, wow. Wow. It's like, why was I having a problem with humility and submission and obedience, man? When every time I've done it, there's a wave of blessing in life. And, oh, man, we're having so much fun. It's a honeymoon the whole time. He can't do enough. He can't put his princess, his bride on display enough. It's like, man, I want to show the world who my bride is. Don't mess with her because you're in trouble. But before he can do that, we have to do this. Our culture don't have room for this. We ever let him step over us and drop his robe over us and say to the world, I'm covering her. And all the enemies of hell know you can't mess with her. I'm covering her. She has chose to trust me. And I'm fixing to blow her mind on my plans. She gets the whole kingdom. She gets everything. And I want everybody and all creation to know it. Does anybody want that kind of a deal? It don't come without brokenness and humility. Submission and obedience. But to give it up because you need to be in charge, you die. Because you need to be in charge, you have heartburn. Because you need to be in charge. If so-and-so would just do better, I'd have a better. You're always trying to correct people and get people to line up because you need to be in charge. That's not what you have to do when you come under him. You get to point everybody to Jesus. He's just waiting on you to submit. Just waiting on you to obey him. Oh, you want to have a good day? Right, let me show you. This is what he done to me. And you get to tell them the good news of how you come under his cover. And he rushed upon you. Thank you, Father, for this word. It's settled. It's yea and amen. The enemy of fear is losing his grip right now. The Lord is finding hearts that are saying, yes, Daddy. Yes, husband. I'm here. This is what I've got to offer. It ain't much. And the Lord's saying, it's all I want. Give it up to me right now. And I will rush into your life and I will show you what you've never seen before. while they were sitting and Peter was preaching the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they were filled with the Spirit and began to talk in heaven's language. And the Jews that were with Peter were amazed, for they knew that the same thing that happened to them in Acts 2 is now happening to the Gentiles. They knew they had been filled with God, for they heard them speak in heaven's language. Anybody want to say what your husband's saying? Anybody want to do what your husband's doing? That's how Jesus does it. What about you? But I've said enough of what the devil's been saying, and I've been doing enough of what the devil's been doing. That should be over with. Fill us up until we can only say what you say, Lord. Fill us up until we can only say what you say, Lord. Fill us up until we can only say and do what we hear and see you do, Lord. I submit. Fill me, Lord. I don't want to be the same when I leave here today. You've got liberty. Rush up on me. Get intimate, Lord. Do what you've always wanted to do. Could we all stand and lift our hands and begin to surrender? We will pray with you here today. The team's here. Let's open up our hearts to heaven.